Psalms 104, and we're going to read just the first five verses together. I'll begin in verse 1. You join me in every other verse and read with me, and then the last verse we'll read together as well. But I'll begin in verse 1, Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, together in verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. You may recognize verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. It's quoted in the New Testament. In fact, I haven't said this lately, but to me, one of the interesting things about the book of Psalms, it's the most quoted book in the New Testament. We would not think that. We would think it would be something like Isaiah or something. One, it's a big book, but number two, it has such deep truths in it. It's written in a unique way because it's Hebrew poetry, but some great truths in it. So we're going to talk this evening, here from Psalms 104, and this is what it's called, a psalm to glorify God. Now you may say, well, that's true about all the psalms. It probably is, but this psalm is uniquely situated that way. And when we say to glorify God, we mean a something very specific, maybe not in a way a lot of people think about it. So Psalms 104, a psalm to glorify God. And let's pray. Father, I pray now for your help. I have words on paper. Nothing to set before them. Our hope, Lord, is that you move in and move amongst us and do something. That's what grows us. That's what builds us. That's what stretches us. That's what changes us. Holy Spirit of God, this is your word. You're the author. You indwell in us as believers. And you're here in corporately in a unique way. We just ask for your help, your work. Do that which only you can do. We ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we use phrases like glory to God and may God be glorified, I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding about this. And sometimes we say, you know, do all things to the glory of God, which is a true statement in the Bible, but I think there's a misunderstanding or a misconnection in our thinking. Sometimes maybe we think that God is on this ego trip. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And just that he just has to have that. His ego is such that he has to have people always thinking about him, talking about him, looking to him, bragging on him. Now, we should be thinking about him, talking about him, bragging on him, but it's not like the Lord has this great need because there's a deficiency in him. That's not why we do this. When we talk about glorifying God, what we mean is this, there is the talking about, the bragging about, the looking to, all those things are how we glorify him maybe, but when we talk about the actual glorifying him, what we mean is to lift him up in the eyes of people to a rightful place in such a way that others then are drawn to him. Our desire is to lift up the Lord in our life, in our words, in our behavior, in our actions, in our testimony, at work, at home, at church, everywhere we're at. We're trying to lift up the Lord, glorify him in the eyes of others so that they are drawn to him. Now, why do we want this to happen? Well, go with me to John chapter 14. One of the primary reasons we find is in John 14. And look with me at that very famous verse, verse 6. In fact, you probably can quote it without even looking at it, but we'll look at it together. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The whole idea of lifting up Christ is because he's the only means of salvation. Now, we may talk about our church, we may brag about our church, but our church can't save anyone. We may appreciate each other, we may think highly of each other, but we can't save anyone. The only person, the only one who can save someone is the Lord himself. And so we want him to be glorified. When we talk about standards, or we talk about holiness, or we talk about sanctification, it isn't because we think we're better than them, but we think this, that if my life doesn't show Christ, if my gospel is hid, it's hid from them. And I want to live right because I want them to be saved. I want people at work to know Christ. I don't want them to be I don't want to be a stumbling block to their salvation. I don't want people to turn from Christ because they look at me and they hear the words I say or see my actions and they're turned from Christ. Now, if they're offended by the gospel, I can't do anything about that. But they're offended from the gospel, now that's a problem. So I want to lift up Christ because I want the people to be saved. So why should we live right? Why should we live holy? Why should we live clean? Not because we're trying to impress them, not because we're something special, but they need to see Christ. So if I just kind of stop for a moment, because sometimes in a church like this, compared to other type of churches where there's the lights and the smoke and the fog and the weird stuff happening, and you know, you got the drum set behind the plastic, what is that? Plexiglass, thank you. Behind the plexiglass, and you have the guy over here jamming, and the guy over here jamming, and you have all the music blasting, and people are just waving. We say, well, does that matter? Well, if you go to the bar, that's what you're going to see. If you come to church and see the same thing, there's no difference. Christ is not being glorified and lifted up. We sing the songs we sing. We try to dress the way we dress. We try to act the way we act. We try to say the words we say, not because we think we're better than them, but we want them to understand that Christ is different than the world, and we want them to be drawn to Christ. And there's an old statement that I think we need to make sure we understand. What you win them with is what you win them to. We're not trying to use the world to win them, because we're not trying to win them to the world. We're not using the world's music and the world's all the goofy stuff of the world. We're trying to win them to Jesus Christ. So we're trying to lift up Christ in their eyes. So when we talk about glorifying God, when we think about in the case of lost people, then we're thinking about this idea that Christ alone is the only one can save them. So we want Christ to be high and lifted up, looking towards him. But there's another part of that. Go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. So we're thinking about the lost world. We're thinking about their salvation. Now, when we're thinking about lifting up Christ in our own life and seeing Christ lifted up for ourselves, there's a reason for this. Because we need also to see Christ high and lifted up. Because it begins working in our life. We want the world to see Christ high and lifted up because we want them to be saved. But we also need to see Christ high and lifted up, the Lord God Almighty glorified. Which brings us to Hebrews chapter 11. And look with me at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, now watch this, that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's something we're supposed to see about him, that he is who he is, and as if we see him as he is, high and lifted up, our faith then is grown, our faith is developed, our faith is increased in us. So not only does Christ need to be high and lifted up, the Lord needs to be high and lifted up as far as the lost world, excuse me for a minute, but we also, the Lord needs to be high and lifted up for our own sake. Because if he's high and lifted up, if he is, and we understand who he is, then we're drawn to him, and that is how our faith then is being developed in us. And this is the direction of this sermon. God being glorified, so our faith is grown, our faith is increased, our faith is stretched, our faith is developed. Now we know this, we just saw that from Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. Believers are called to a life of faith. But there's more to it than that. It's a specific type of faith. Some people say this, well, you know, I just have faith. That's not good enough. In fact, I think Brother Becker talked about this in your Sunday school lesson. It's not good enough just to have faith. Now watch what I'm about to say. And okay, preachers do this. They kind of like I'm letting out the line, okay? I'm teasing you with statements. I'm making you sit there and think, man, what? Pastor White's gone into heresy. Hopefully not, but stay with me. Your faith, if all you say is, well, I got faith, it is no importance. The devils have faith. So what you're saying is, I'm on the same level as the devil. little poetry there came out of me. I'm on the same level as the devil. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith, but we're talking about a specific kind of faith. And that is a faith in God. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. This is what Jesus told his disciples. Have faith in God. So it's not just faith, a life of faith, but it's a life of faith that's directed towards the Lord. So we need the Lord high and lifted up. Our eyes need to look upon him, and we have faith in him. He is. We have faith in who he is. He's a rewarder. So our faith in God then is what as the Lord is lifted up, this faith then begins increasing, begins developing in us. So what God does is he focuses, now this is all just trying to lay a foundation so you understand the application here in a moment. God focuses our attention on himself so that we can walk by faith and please him. Now this is God's pattern throughout the Bible. He lifts himself up in front of his people so that we now begin putting faith in him, who he is, what he says he is, what he promised to do. And as we do that and drawn towards him, our faith increases. We begin growing in that faith and developing as believers. This is how the Lord, in part, how he grows us as believers. Now, you're in Hebrews 11. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And look with me in verse number 13. What I want you to notice is when God was speaking to people, what he pointed to. Hebrews 6, look at verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He said, Abraham, look at me. Don't, nothing else matters. You look at me and I'm telling you something. Verse 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. In other words, focus on me. Put your faith in me. Trust in me. And so Abraham's faith then is going to be developed because the Lord is being lifted up in his eyes. Let me show you another place. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, in a message like this, we could go a couple different ways. We're going to try to stay true to Psalms 104. But part of this is why the Lord allows us to go through some difficult times, some valleys, if you will, because the Lord is lifting himself up, so our eyes are drawn to him, and our faith begins growing, and that's how he develops us. Exodus 3, look with me at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, part of that is, Moses, you're right. Who are you? You're no one. You're not going to do it. Verse 12, and he says, certainly, now this is what the Lord said, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers sent me unto you, and they say unto me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? Now notice what the Lord says here in verse number 14. And God said unto him, I am that I am. He's not just all present, which is that is true, but he's all sufficient. He said, look to me. You want faith? Look to me. Well, what? No, just look at me. Trust in me. I am that I am. And he said to him, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, to Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, now watch, the Lord God of your fathers. Now we're going to build on this in a moment. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Look at me. Look to who I am. And we'll come back to that verse in a second. So when we are presented with this psalm that glorifies the name of God, and we see that if you go back with me to Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. When we're presented this psalm that glorifies the name of God, now watch, this is the whole sermon in a nutshell. Okay, and if I don't get you to understand this, then I feel like the whole sermon's going to be for naught. Now don't get up and walk out if you don't understand it. Give me a second chance. But I'm really thinking this is my best chance right here. So if when we are presented with this psalm that glorifies God's name, great is the Lord, majestic is the Lord, when the Lord is being lifted up here in this psalm, it is to focus our attention on Him. And in that focusing on Him, then our faith can grow. In other words, He focuses our attention on God so He can build our faith. The best thing that can happen in your Christian life is for the Lord to be glorified, high and lifted up. It forces us to look at Him. Quit looking around. Quit seeing what everyone else is doing. Quit worrying. Look to the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Have Him high and lifted up. And our faith then begins growing. Now, specifically, and this is purposely, I think, as preachers, this is important that we use the Word of God as fences. There's a lot of different directions we could go, but I want to use the fence of Psalms 104. I want to stay within what He's kind of talking about here within this psalm, some things about the Lord in developing us. We go many ways, but I want to try to stay within Psalms 104 the best I can. So three things I want to share with you about this focus on God and how it grows our faith. Let's go back to Psalms 104. I want you to notice, first thing he's pointing us to, what he's talking about himself, how he's being lifted up, how we're focusing on him. He says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever." As you read through that, aren't you thinking about creation? All the things the Lord made, all the things the Lord created, all the things that He put out there. So the Lord begins presenting Himself to us and lifting up, saying, "I want you to understand who I am. I am the Creator. I am the reason all this is here. Look to me that way. See me that way." So the first thing we look at tonight is this. A focus on God, this lifting up the Lord, teaches us about stewardship. The Lord says, "I want you to look at me this way because you need to understand some things. Your faith in this area of my creation is going to be increased and be helped if you understand who I am as Creator. If God is Creator, then He is the owner. So that all that I have belongs to Him, and I am to use it as it pleases Him." Now, this may seem small, but the Lord often goes back to this and showing Himself who He is, because we get caught up in so many things, and we get confused by things, and we get overstretched in areas, and God has to stop and say, "No, look to me. I'm the Creator. I'm the one who gave you life. I'm the one who gave you your possessions. Look to me. Don't get caught up in everything else." Let me give you an illustration. Again, I'm putting out the line, trying to get you to "Oh, he's a heretic" type of response, okay? Pastor Dennis Mitchell White Sr. Now watch this. Pastor Dennis Mitchell White Sr. does not give God, okay? I do not give God my tithe. Thank you. But I'm glad you're not throwing tomatoes yet. He's given me a second chance. But he is heating up the tar, and that kind of worries me. Now watch. I return to God His tithe. It never belonged to me. I can't give Him something that I don't own. I give Him what is already His. Or I return to Him, I should say, what is already His. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me to Malachi 3, probably the most famous verse along this way, the chapter along this way. Malachi chapter 3. Now, statements like this is what has helped me develop in my area of faith. Malachi chapter 3. Being a young believer, having pennies to my name, being stretched financially, and sometimes you start saying, well, you know, I don't know if I can give God the tithe. Okay, I agree. Don't give God the tithe. Just return it back to Him. Malachi chapter 3, notice what the Bible says. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Notice what he says in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Now, here's what he says, in tithes and offerings. And you can read the rest of it. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me that now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So basically he's saying is, you need to bring this to me because it belongs to me. When God is glorified as creator, it changes how I view the things that are in my possession. When I realize as a young believer, because probably all of us are this way, my guess is all of us are this way. We start out in the Christian faith and we think, okay, what do I have to give to God? What does the Lord demand from me? And here's the answer, everything. Surrender it all to Him. And then He lets you know how to use it. And you say, well, man, that writing out that tithe check is hard. I'm being transparent. There was a time when that was a very hard thing for me to do. Because I had this bill and this bill and this bill, and I had this kid, this kid, this kid, this kid, and this kid who created this bill, and this bill. And so I'm thinking, oh, man, this is a hard thing. But it came to a day when I realized it's not mine. I have no right to it. Why would I want to hold on to it? Most of you know, Brother Myers has his business. And he, in the nature of his business, car repair, tires, all the other various things that he does. He has a couple of loaner cars. So I'm going to Myers Tires, get the right words out. And I leave my car there. And I use one of his loaner cars. So I drive and go home. I don't usually go too far. I don't really go that far. I stay within the state. And so I use his loaner car, and I come back to pick up my car. And I say to Joe, you're such a good friend. I want to give you something. I really want to give this to you. Here's a car for you. He's going to say, thanks, but it already belongs to me. Am I giving him the car? I'm returning what he let me have. That's how I tithe. If I start looking at my possessions that way, here's what it does. It releases me from it. My faith begins growing. I begin trusting him. I begin making these steps. Well, how is this going to happen? I don't know, but it's not mine to hold on to. So a focus on him teaches us this thing about stewardship. He becomes high and lifted up. Sometimes it may be good for us to take a monthly inventory of all that we possess and go around and say, point to everything in your house saying, that belongs to God, 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 this belongs to God. It all belongs to Him, and I need to use it the way He sees. This idea of stewardship requires us to understand the difference between what we possess and what we own. We may possess much, but we own nothing. And if I don't own it, then why do I fuss about what the owner wants to do with it? It's his. You do what you want with it. Now, when I see the Lord lifted up that way, it begins growing my faith. And one of the major areas that you need to grow in faith is trusting the Lord in the things that He has put in your hand, whether it's possessions, whether it's your children, whether it's your spouse, whether it's whatever He has put in your hand. You need to trust Him and say, Lord, You're the Creator. You made it. I trust You with it. And that begins growing your faith. It's an important area of growth in our faith. So a focus on God teaches us this idea about stewardship and growing our faith in that area. Now let's go back to our Psalm 104. Now this is a kind of a longer psalm, and he spends basically from verse 6 down to verse 30 talking about a similar subject that we're going to put into one point. And we're not going to read all those verses, but I'm going to read some of the verses, just a few verses to give you a flavor of it. So let's start in verse 6, and we're going to read down to verse 9 to start with. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by mountains, they go down by the valleys into a place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Now, what does that remind you of? A promise he made to someone. Noah. He told Noah, I won't flood the earth again. So now we're talking about trusting him. Go with me to verse number 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather, thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Now he's talking about providing for them, not just being the creator, but being the provider. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Now he's talking about not just the creation, but the sustaining, the providing for this creation. And so that brings us to our second focus. The first, we said, a focus on God teaches about stewardship and developing our faith in that area. And now the second way, we now lift him up, focus on him, developing our faith. The second is this, a focus on God teaches us about trust. Now, we have faith in him. That means God said it, and I'm just going to do what he says, believing he's going to do what he's promised to do. But the trust is, in this way, I'm talking about how we respond as we go through these steps of faith. And we're not all nervous, we're not all fretful, we're not all at wit's end, we're not all jumpy like we've had too much caffeine. There's a trustfulness that we have to him, a peacefulness that comes in our life because we know the Lord will provide. When man is in charge, they say something like this, especially if you do investments. They'll say, past performance is no guarantee of future results. They'll say, now here's all that we've done, but we can't promise it's ever going to do anything more than that, but here's our past. That's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, here's my past, and I've never changed. Circumstances don't change. Me, I change them. You can here's what I've done in the past. You can trust me. So God points to his past saying, you can trust me. Man says, well, we don't know what the future holds. God says, I know what the future holds, and you can trust me in these things. When God's in charge, that's what we see at Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change, I'm in complete control. You can trust me. In these steps of faith, in these areas, I'm stretching you. You look to me. Let me be lifted up in your eyes. Look to me, and in looking to me, you can trust me as you begin growing in these areas of faith. Now, I told you we're coming back to that verse in Exodus we're going to look at here in just a second. God wants us to focus on him and his track record. And then trust him in our own life. Let me give you a little aside thing. One of the best things, if you're an older believer, and I'm assuming, again, the bad assuming part, I'm assuming that you have grown some in your faith. You know one of the best things you can do? Is let others know what the Lord has done in your life. Now, I'm trusting the Lord has done some things in your life. Not bragging on you, but bragging on the Lord. Because people need to see God's track record. If God could do it for you, if God could bless someone like Dale Stein or Paul Becker or Joe Myers, then God can bless me. I'm not looking to him. If you lift up the Lord in my eyes, I say, well, if the Lord can do it for you, then the Lord can do it for me. And I begin now trusting him as I'm taking these steps of faith. Every mature believer started as an immature believer. So if you're an immature believer, that mature believer was there at one time and they had to make that step of faith. And if they say, here's how I made that step, here's what God did in my life, that begins encouraging you and begins growing your faith as the Lord is lifted up. Now, this is exactly how the Lord spoke to his people. Because
we're humans. We want to see what kind of track record you got, Lord. Well, the Lord begins showing them this. Go with me to Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. Talk about a man named Isaac. Isaac had a dad. His dad was Abraham. We saw him mentioned in Hebrews, where God swore by himself to Abraham. And God showed himself faithful to Abraham. Now, Abraham is moving off the scene, and now God is going to be dealing with Isaac, the son. And notice what he says to Isaac. Genesis 26, look with me in verse 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. That's what he says. I am. Remember your dad? Remember how I worked in your dad's life? Remember how I took care of your dad? Remember how your dad could make it because of me? That's who I am. I'm that God. That's the one I want you to look at. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I, the God of Abraham, am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Just like I blessed your dad, I can bless you. And so God begins pointing people to himself, lifting himself up in the eyes of people, showing people his track record so that they will put trust and confidence in him. Go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. So now Isaac has a son, which becomes Abraham's grandson, and his name is Jacob. And Jacob now has to have his faith stretched, increased, grown. That brings us to Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down that place to sleep. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. In other words, see my track record. Your grandfather trusted in me. I took care of him. Your dad trusted me. I took care of him. The land wherein thou liest to do thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Again, he's pointing to himself. He's lifting himself up. Look to me. Have confidence in me. Trust in me. This is how the Lord grows our faith. His glorifying himself in our eyes helps us now to grow in our faith. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. That's the verse I said we'd come back to. Exodus chapter 3, we already read the verse, we'll read it again. You'll see the exact same thing happening. Again, the Lord lifting himself up. Verse 15, and God said over to Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, this is my track record. We know what I've done in their lives. You can trust me in what I'm going to do in your life. The only way to grow our faith is to step out in faith and make it all about Jesus and just trust him. There are going to be times when you're just going to have to just step out and trust the Lord. You're not going to be able to figure it all out and spreadsheet it out. We love to use nouns and turn them into verbs. We're not going to spreadsheet it all out. We're not going to figure out exactly how it all going to line up. There are times when we're just going to have to step out. You know, we spoke a few moments ago about Sarah and our high expectations, and please do not spoil that for us. And so we spoke of high expectations that we have on her, and just putting a little pressure on her. But you know, on their side, okay, here's someone who's young, who's making some steps of faith, and there is a certain, you know, how is this going to turn out? You know, I'm going to go to this Bible college. I'm going to have to pay this bill. I'm going to have to move there. I'm going to have to do these things. How's all that going to turn out? There is some steps of faith there. And on our side, maybe you feel this way. I feel this way. On my side, when people tell me the steps of faith they're making, I get a little scared for them. Not that I don't trust the Lord, but I know what they're going to have to do. Because I know the Lord is going to put them in a place where they're going to really have to step out. And I know how scary that is. But this is what the Lord does. What we want to do is, we want to sit home with every bill paid, every Facebook post is liked, no one is ever against us, everything is just peachy, keen, hunky-dory, and then grow my faith. And God says, that's not going to happen that way.
you need to see me high and lifted up. And how you see me high and lifted up is when that's all you have. That's all you have. And you look to me and trust in me, and that is what's going to grow your faith. This is what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He glorifies himself in order to develop faith in us so that we can do what the Lord would have us to do and be what we need to be for the Lord. As we read the Bible, it's not just a bunch of facts. It's God's declaration of his faithfulness to his people. And the more we lift up the Lord, and the more we lift up his word, then the more then our hearts are drawn to trust and follow him. When God is glorified, it encourages now us to trust him in our needs and our provision. So a focus on God teaches about stewardship. A focus on God teaches us about trusting him. And let me give you the third one. Go with me to Psalms 104, verse 31. How else does lifting up the Lord, seeing him high and lift up, seeing him glorified, how does that develop faith and grow our faith? Well, verse 31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. And this is what he says in verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise you, the Lord. Really, verse 31 and verse 33 gives us really the, I think, the main thrust here in these verses. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Then he says, for verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. The Lord's there for eternity. And as long as I live, that's my focus. That's basically what he's saying. The Lord, glory of the Lord's forever. And as long as I live, I'm going to be singing praises to him. So here's our third focus. A focus on God, seeing him high lifted up, teaches us about life. Martin Luther said this, there are only 2 days on my calendar. This day and that day. The day I'm living right now, That's the only day I'm thinking about other than that day when I see him face to face. This day's importance is found in that day's existence. Because that day is going to happen, this day becomes very important. So as the Lord is lifted up, then I understand about living my life right here and now. The unsaved act like the world is spinning out of control. There is no hope, and life is pointless. That's how the unsaved act. They look at the world like a big dumpster fire. That there's no hope, it's all crazy, it's all just going to pot. And can I tell you, for them, that is exactly how it is. There is no hope in this world. Everything is crazy. Everything's spinning crazy. Every time there's even a sliver of hope, there's all this buckets and buckets of hopelessness that comes your way. That's for the unsaved. But for God's people, we see things different. We see life different. As God's people, we see there's a God who is working all things after the purpose of his will. My life is in his hands, and I'm safe and secure. That focus changes the way I live my day-to-day life. I don't live my day-to-day life slapping myself in the head thinking, oh, what's going to happen? I live my life like this. Lord, my life's in your hands. And I trust you, and that's how I'm going to look at my life. Go with me to Ephesians, one more place. Well, two more places. Ephesians 1. I don't want to be thoughtless or not considering the fears and the hopelessness that the world throws our ways. So what I want you to do is see that the antidote for those things is seeing the Lord high and lifted up. The antidote isn't having an answer to all the problems. The antidote is seeing the Lord high and lifted up. My life's in your hands. Look with me in Ephesians 1. Now, we need to read almost the whole chapter of Ephesians 1, but we're not going. We're just going to jump through the chapter and look at some verses. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before any of this stuff happened, the Lord knew who we were. The Lord knew our life. We who are born again are secure in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise, now watch this statement, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Let's skip through down to, let's pick it up in verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, were secure in him, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So I'm telling you, our life is secure in him. We're safe. We may not be home because we're not in heaven, but we are secure until we get to heaven. There's nothing. We are God's precious cargo, and he will make sure that trip is secure until we get there. This is what the focus on God teaches us. We see him high and lifted up. We're not looking at all the goofy stuff in this world. We see the Lord high and lifted up. And this is what it teaches about life. I'm going to live today as I'm thinking about that day. And I know that I'm secure until that day. Let me show you one more verse. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Look with me in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, listen to what I'm about to say, because we're basically done here. God knows this. He knows this is what we need. And so God knows, because this, he knows this is what we need, he points us to himself. He glorifies himself in our lives. He tries to lift himself up in our lives so we focus on him. This is what the Lord is always trying to do, get us to look unto him, lift our eyes, look to him, focus on him, see him high and lift up, glorified in our sight. That's what he wants. Can I tell you? Satan also knows this. He knows that if our mind is stayed upon him, that this is the foundation of our faith and our growth and our sanctification. This is how the Lord works in our lives. Satan knows this as well. So he uses circumstances, events to take our eyes off of the Lord, high and lifted up, and look at everything else. He creates all these storms in our lives so that all we see is we feel the wind, we can feel the waters splashing against us, we see the waves, the boats rocking. So we have to make a choice. Either we're going to look to the Lord high and lifted up, or we're going to just panic over all the things that's happening around us. That's our choice. And the Lord says, here's what I want. I want to be glorified in your eyes. Not because I'm on an ego trip, not because somehow I'm just so deficient in my character that I have to have that. No, I want to be high and lifted up because that's how I'm going to grow your faith. That's how I'm going to develop you. That's how I'm going to work in your life when you see me high and lifted up. We sing that song. It's in our songbook. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And would you pray with me?